This is a Dynamike Network podcast.
Hello, everybody. This is one of your awesome hosts, Scotty Macho. And as always, the second in command, Ken.
Second in command. Oh, I've been promoted. I appreciate that. Usually I'm like third or fourth in command. I'm a non-commissioned officer, dude. I work for a living. What's up, Scotty?
Oh, man. It's been a busy week for me, at least on my end. We had flurries of snowstorm. Like it looked like there's going to be inches out on the road, and then it just go away after an hour. And then I had my little girl just turned 5. The little boy acting like he's 2 already. So, you know, one goes good, the other one freaks out.
That sounds like having kids, man. Happy birthday to your little girl. It's awesome. Cherish this time because before you know it, they'll be 14 acting like they're 37. So it's great stuff.
All right, buddy. Speaking of wrestling, let's go to hitting the mat and in dramatic fashion, sir.
Oh yeah,
we're gonna do it right.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, the wrestling world. Oh, just a family championship. Brother does the fantasy football, so he went out and print himself a championship. So I jacked it for a special occasion.
Also digging
the print it my championship. I won. My championship.
Yeah, you want it? I mean, I'm all about it. What's what's up, brother? How you doing?
Family of champions. All right. So WrestleMania season is in full effect, sir. April is going to be big day. Now, if you remember way back when they did this stuff, it's usually we catch it on a Sunday pay-per-view. These things go to two-nighters now, buddy. They take the whole weekend. So WrestleMania card is set. Is one of the matches we got Drew McIntyre versus Seth Rollins. Seth freaking Rollins defending the world champion. We got Roman Reigns versus Cody Rhodes defending the Universal Championship. We have Rhea Bloody Ripley versus Becky the Man Lynch for the Women's Championship, Women's World Championship, might add. And then Io Sky versus Bayley for the WWE Women's Championship. Now, it's rumored that Stone Cold might make an appearance. We already know the great one, the people's champion, is already going to be in. Well, he's the freaking boss of the company. So when did we ever see the day when the great one initially now is the great one of the company? But I guess night one, him and his cousin Roman Reigns are going to go in a tag team match versus Cody Rhodes and Seth Rollins. So they're going to pull a double that night. Everything's good. In other news, I mean, still tied to WWE and WCW, Sting, the Icon, wrestling's crow, has officially retired from wrestling. So good on him. I just finished watching his he had a documentary on the Peacock Network. I didn't know that he was like a full on tag team with Ultimate Warrior.
Ultimate Warrior, yeah.
And I was coming up with the Ultimate Warrior time, and it's like, oh, you know, they do look the same, and I thought it were stealing gimmicks. No, they came up together, and that was their whole look. Mm-hmm. So to see, it would have been awesome to see them. I think he did come back to WWE or came in the WWE at one point, and Ultimate Warrior was still live. And then, unfortunately, he passed away the following night after his Hall of Fame ceremony. And then we didn't get the what should have been the retirement match for Sting, because he got injured, was going to be eventually the Undertaker versus the Icon. Would have been freaking amazing.
But yes, so, sir. A lot of news to unpack. It's funny. I think last year I tried getting back into the WWE around WrestleMania time, because it's that time, right? It doesn't matter where you are in your lifetime of watching wrestling. WrestleMania is it. Like, you go back 40 years of just outstanding entertainment as it is. I'm proud of myself. I know 90% of the people that you brought up during the cards. I do think it's hilarious. And you brought it up, like, who would have thought, you know, the great one, The Rock, would own it. Honestly, I thought that was, like, going to be his magnum opus. Like, after the Scorpion King came out and just how crap that went, I honestly felt like The Rock was going to go back into wrestling and end up owning the company. You know, all of, like, what Triple H ended up doing, right? That's kind of where I thought he was going to go. But he took off in other directions, and having him come back, I think, especially with the issues of the McMahon legacy, I think it's a great way of bringing the network into a new generation, because guys like us can remember seeing The Rock wrestle originally, you know, when he was still, I mean, wearing full on like banana leaves and having crazy long hair. I remember that when he first started wrestling, right? Sting, that like hurt me to the core. Like, I remember watching the Ultimate Warriors documentary that they did on, I think it was AMC, but the other, Annie's Stack Doc, yeah. So I knew that Sting wrestled before being the Black and White Crow. Like, I knew he was, you know, all American blonde hair, but I didn't know that he had wrestled with Ultimate Warrior until I saw that. And I remember the story coming out, like, the reason why Sting took off the way he did was because technically he gave a shit. Like, he wanted to learn, you know, and going under Lex Luger and figuring out moves and, like, really upping his game. I mean, again, he got saved by RoboCop. I mean, you don't get any cooler than that. And then he ended up becoming the greatest anti-hero babyface of them all when everyone's favorite wrestler, Hulk Hogan, betrayed every kid that grew up eating their vitamins and saying their prayers. The great American hero turns bad. And then to have Sting show up as this crow figure and menaced Hogan and the NWO for, I think it was like 6 months before they actually did it. Like, that was a long draw for that storyline. And I don't think it could have paid off any better.
And he didn't, like, say a word.
Not a single word. It was outstanding. Seeing him live, I said, I tell the story all the time. Like, the first and only wrestling match I went to was Halloween Havoc 96, where I got to see my favorite wrestler, you know, Macho Man, in the flesh, got an autograph, got to, like, glad hand him and just feel the manic energy of Macho Man. And then being in the stands, watching Sting go up against the NWO was just incredible. Like, it was everything he wanted it to be. And then you saw him, like, kind of do the red and white wolf pack thing. And, you know, kind of seeing the gimmicks that he tried in AEW, where he kind of did, like, Joker Sting. Like, I feel like he may have held on a little too long. Like, I feel like he mentored his current tag member, you know, mentored him. And I think he could have said his goodbye a little sooner. You go out on top, right? Just like Undertaker did. You go out when you know you don't have anything left to give. And I definitely feel that for Sting. Outstanding segment, dude. This was great.
Oh, yeah. It was fun. Brings back a whole bunch of memories. I got chills from you describing the NWO versus Sting days. It was like, oh, man, that was freaking awesome.
And for those of you who are wondering why we do this, is one, Scotty's a huge wrestling fan. You know, his family is definitely into it, as you can plainly see by the belts. And he and I shared that coming of age at that time. And honestly, you don't get any more Max Destruction. You know, the precipice of this was the 80s action hero all cocoa buttered out, and not be able to draw a direct comparison to 80s and 90s and 2000s all the way to today now wrestlers. Like, that's what entertainment is, and that's why we at Max Destruction like to go to the mat.
Go to the mat. Yeah.
I think we should introduce our buddy, though.
Welcome to the Dynamike Network. I am the cyber intelligent being that has dominion over the domain of the Max Destruction Arena. I am the 01, but you may call me Francis. I will take your favorite heroes, villains, and any other jacked up protagonist across the cinematic multiverse and put them to the ultimate test of metal. Two brawlers will enter the arena, but only one can reign supreme. However, all paths lead to Max Destruction.
Acknowledge the 01, who he
the
is.
Goat.
The goat.
The goat. I do have to stop everything real quick, though, Scotty. Why is there Punisher symbols all over you in the background? Bro, you know we are DC. DC for life here. Why are you bringing Punisher energy into this match?
I know, but the military is represented by Punisher.
Fair.
I was going to put the Superman symbol, but I guess it was too bright.
I like it. We're definitely coming along. While I have El Paso hotel energy behind me with my go bag. I'm live on location about a block and a half away from the Juarez border doing military things. So pretty cool shit. Mm-hmm.
Saving the world. One podcast at a time, people.
That's right. That's why we do it. Honestly, I'd much rather be doing this than my real job. Let's be honest.
All right. And then this week, let's bring up Wham.
Wham.
All right. In last week's Wham, we had Sergeant Slaughter from G.I. Joe. And just pulling them up here. Let's see who we got here. Now, I remember on Facebook. Let's see here. Technical difficulties.
That's how you know we're live, folks. we do this shit live.
Live on the fly. All right, so from Gilly Macho. Really? You put Johnny Bravo. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
And good buddy Ori. Oh, go figure. He put the Punisher. I don't know which Punisher he's trying to go for it. But we got Punisher and we got Marcus Fenix from Gears of War.
I could definitely see that. And I, you know, when you say the Punisher, like all I'm thinking is trying to keep it in the animated realm, like 90s Spider-Man, like the animated series Punisher. I think mm-hmm. that would have been pretty cool. You know, Sergeant Slaughter, he just actually had his own documentary that come out on AMD this weekend. And it just, I don't think we could have planned it any better than to have him as our Wham.
Thank you, Sarge. Real American.
Real American hero.
All right. And now, folks, it's time to get into this week's matchup.
Yes, indeed, sir. We went ninjutsu, which really wasn't ninjutsu. It was kind of like a very weird cross between, you know, Filipino martial arts and karate. And like there was a lot going on with last week's episode. We just know it was nostalgia. It was really where we were at.
Oh, yeah.
So we decided, let's say screw it with the martial arts and add guns lots and lots of guns to this week's episode, Scott. So who do we got?
We have John Preston from Equilibrium versus Agent Smith
from Shoot 'Em Up.
Shoot 'Em Up, yes.
Which, if you have never seen this film, it's like if you and six of your best friends went and got 1.5-inch tomahawk steaks and cook them over an open fire in the middle of a room, and you're just doing nothing but drinking whiskey and eating steak and doing manly things. That's pretty much exactly how this movie runs. It's an incredible feat of just nothing but adrenaline and guns, hot women, and carrots.
Like, we're not talking diamond carrots, huh?
No, no, definitely the vegetable variety. And Scott, let's have Francis talk about how we actually get down with the tale of the cocoa butter.
On Mac's destruction, the hosts use a semi-idiotic method called the tale of the cocoa butter as a clever device to provide character backstories, much like Rogan does at the UFC. The hosts go through their respective characters' backgrounds, abilities, and equipment to provide the best possible description.
As always, very knowledgeable, 01. All right,
and
sir.
We bring him in for the conciseness and just the gravitas he brings to our podcast.
As always, we acknowledge you. Showing. All right, sir. Would you like me to go first? With John Preston?
Actually, I think I go first okay. This go around. If with your leave, sir, with your leave. Obviously, you are in first command today. So
I concur.
Let's break down Mr. Smith from Shoot 'Em Up. So Mr. Smith is the main protagonist of the 2007 action film Shoot 'Em Up. He is a drifting military veteran with black ops experience who rescues a newborn from being killed by an assassin, Hertz, played by Paul Giamatti in one of his funniest like films ever, and his henchmen. Smith flees from the gang, enlisting the help of a prostitute, Donna Quintano, to keep the baby safe as he unravels the conspiracy. At a bus stop in a rough part of town, a military veteran named Smith sees a pregnant woman on the verge of giving birth while fleeing a hitman. While following them into a warehouse, Smith kills the hitman by stabbing him in the face with a carrot and retrieves the woman's pistol where she did not hit him at all. As more thugs arrive, the woman goes into labor, and Smith delivers her baby boy during a shootout, to include taking the umbilical cord and shooting it off with the 9mm. I am telling you, most manly thing you've ever seen. I wish I could have pulled that off in my daughter's births, but we were delivering in a military hospital and they tend to frown on that. I don't know how it is with your guys' regular people hospitals. The military hospitals, not everybody's caring. Just saying. Unfortunately, the mother dies. Leaving the baby in the park, Smith hopes someone will adopt the child, but a passing woman is killed with a shot from Hertz's sniper rifle. Realizing that Hertz is trying to kill the baby, Smith saves him and tries unsuccessfully to leave him with a prostitute named Donna Quintano. Hertz soon arrives at the brothel, tortures Donna for information. Smith returns and kills Hertz's henchman. After a brief confrontation, Smith shoots Hertz and leaves Donna with the baby, having secretly worn a bulletproof vest. However, Hertz is alive, albeit wounded. Now, there are a ton of action sequences in this film. This film came out after Doom. So Doom was actually the very first movie to do first-person shooting camera angles. This movie tried to kind of continue on with that. Mr. Smith has an extreme level of accuracy and precision when it comes to firearms. He uses everything from a basic pea shooter 22 to a 50 caliber to a rifle. His personal favorite is pistols. And not only can he do so with his own body, but when he is tortured and all of his fingers are broken in weird angles, he actually uses a carrot to pull the trigger of his pistols, killing all of the bad guys with a pistol and a carrot. Carrot shows up a lot in this film, and it's not for reasons why you might think. He really enjoys carrots and eats them, and for some reason has a ton of them in his pockets. And he actually ends up killing Hertz with a carrot at the end, which is incredible. Clive Owen plays this masterfully. Not only is he great precision and accuracy, he is incredibly durable, having all of his fingers broken, having his ribs broken, having been shot multiple times, and still gets up and continues the job, to include having a fight mid-air in an airplane, falling out and shooting people while he was falling. It was pretty legit. He is pretty decent hand-to-hand, but he is more happy at a distance when it comes to the art of shooting. And unlike John, like, I would say he's probably like just under John Wick accuracy. John Wick is shoot him in the head every single time. And if he doesn't shoot them in the head, he shoots them in the body and then shoots them in the head. Mr. Smith is more than happy to just put like 8 rounds into a dude's chest and make them drop. He doesn't need to go for the headshot. So yeah, that's pretty much Mr. Smith. There's not much else that needs to be said, other than I'm sorry, John Preston has not got a prayer, against this man.
Well, speaking of prayer, let me tell you about the number one cleric.
See what I did there?
I got you. All right, ladies and gents, we're going to talk about John Preston. In the first years of the 21st century, the world was in a third world war. For those who survived, they knew mankind could never survive a fourth war. So emerged a new society, and a new society of law. The Grammaton cleric, whose job is to seek out and eradicate the true source of man's inhumanity to man, and his ability, and which is his ability to feel. Their number one cleric is John Preston, played by Christian Bale. This was before he started doing on Batman, which was, now I can see why they picked him probably for Batman. He's their senior cleric, who is protecting. Essentially, this is almost like a Judge Dredd world, because it's a super city called Libria, protected by the clerics. The whole population is suppressed, is under the suppression of a drug called Prozoam 2, which takes away everyone and anyone's ability to feel emotion or angry, because that was the problem with the world. So during a sense terrorist bus, John Preston and his BFF, I forget the guy's name, pronounce it, but he's a good actor too, his partner in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
They go to a bus where essentially a bunch of terrorists are holding important artwork, the Mona Lisa being one of them. And John Preston and partner are sent to this group. And instead of sending in a riot squad, you send in one cleric. He turns out the lights and he takes out 20, maybe even 50 guys in a dark room by standing in one spot, which we'll get to the gun katas. Through analysis of thousands of recorded gunfights, the police force, the Grammaton clerics, created the gun kata. The clerics determine the geometric distribution of antagonists in any gun battle. It is statistically predictable element that the gun katas treat the gun as a total, or treats the whole subject, weapon, and person wielding it as a total weapon, each position representing a maximum kill zone, inflicting maximum destruction. pun
intended. TM.
on the maximum number of opponents while keeping the defender clear of traditional trajectory of return fire. What does that mean, Ken? He can dodge bullets, essentially. Now, John Preston eventually... I watched the movie twice, and it seems like they're all supposed to suppress feelings, but yet even his new partner and the father, they all express feelings. I mean, you see a bunch of them express anger, they express fear, but yet I don't know what they're trying to suppress. But eventually, John Preston stops taking his daily dose, starts hiding it. He starts feeling, he starts enjoying the sunshine. Gore is becoming, or he realizes his actions and his consequences. So he decides to rebel, joins the underground rebellion to gain audience with Father and ultimately take down the regime, so that way humanity can prosper naturally. You know, and the thing that they were trying to stop from the beginning, they end up starting at the end. Fourth World War. Abilities-wise, John Preston is a gun kata master. And i.e. the senior cleric. And this you're talking gun combat, you're talking hand-to-hand combat with a katana sword, which is one of his weapons, his ceremonial katana sword, and his dual pistols, which are HK G36s. Now, those are his primary weapons, but throughout the movie, whatever weapon is in his proximity, he will use against the person. He did this one trick with shotguns, which was insane. Before the officers could pull the trigger, he turns the guns on them, shooting them in the head. Amazing. Amazing. I want to know gun kata. I want to be a connoisseur of gun kata. And that is John Preston.
Yeah, I mean, listening to John Preston, it really kind of like, maybe this wasn't the greatest of ideas for Mr. Smith. However, the plus side to Mr. Smith is he's got kind of like a Looney Tunes-esque ability to take just the weirdest shit and make it happen. And he always seems to come out on top. So maybe that'll level things out. I can't wait. Equilibrium is one of my favorite movies. It's up there. Curiosity, though, I feel like having no emotion makes you more logical, which is the way that the movie portrays. I feel like that is requirement for gun kata to be at like its maximum. So I feel like if you're feeling remorse, you're feeling anything, it's going to reduce your overall ability to do it. So I guess for you, my question would be, is Preston pre or post his medicine? Like, has he started to feel for this match, or is he 100% still badass cleric, no feelings?
I'm gonna say this one's gonna be post.
Okay, so maybe like 10%, 10-15%.
Yeah.
Okay. I only ask because I honestly feel like if it was 100%, Smith would have no shot. So, you know, I appreciate your handicapping him for me. Mm-hmm. I truly do.
Or did I? I mean...
Yeah, it's fair. That's fair. All right, Scott. I feel like before we get in the sim, we should probably explain how it works. Do you want to do it or you want Francis?
Oh, of course. I got to acknowledge the 01.
It's fair.
The hosts believe that the next best thing to creating an irrefutable method to decide things like a coin flip would be hacking into AJ9K, the AI that those dynamic dual fools, upstanding gentlemen use. Once hacked, The guys input statistics for the subjects of this week's fight, including strength, fighting style, and most importantly, humor. The stats are then compared 1,000 times, presenting a final result to determine the ultimate victor. To avoid boring your ears off with numbers game, the hosts have elected to present a speculation on how one of the fights play out for your listening pleasure. Now, despite my best efforts, it seems that every simulation manages to occur within the vicinity of the safe house I find my way to. Fortunately, the environment isn't relevant to the simulations. I mean, fortunate for them and you. It sucks for me.
I really feel like we need to talk to Francis because we're not only doing this audio, we're doing this visually now. So maybe we need to have Francis make an appearance. I mean, he is 0-1, but, you know, I feel like at this point, if we're hacking things and, like, I mean, hell, in the early 90s, they were hacking things and showing the person doing it. So maybe Francis will show up one of these days.
Wink, sure. Wink.
Nod, nod, you know. All right, my bud. Where are we running this fight?
I think let's try a fully stocked warehouse, guns warehouse, weapons like a Bass Pro manufacturer.
Shop. Perfect. Perfect. And they just so happen to be getting ammunition in as well. So perfect. Yeah. How do you feel like this would go?
Oh, man. Well, we send the cleric in. John Preston is going to go first. He sees Mr. Smith right across the ways. He's going to pull out his pistols and stoically stand there. He's going to shoot out the lights. And then we're going to go to Gun Kata position one, where he's going to be doing his, you know, from the back of the head, right in front of him, any position where Smith may hide or may think that he wants to go hide is going to be rained with gunfire, the first magazines. He goes empty, and the emergency lights come on in the warehouse.
And at that time is when Cleric Preston's going to look over to where Mr. Smith was standing, and he's just going to see a carrot split in half, and Mr. Smith is now standing 20 feet the other direction, pulling out his Beretta 92Fs fully automatic, and he's gonna be just pissed. That was my favorite carrot. And then he is just going to start raining down rounds while running from one side to the other, trying to confuse this guy's ability to, like, figure out where the rounds are coming from.
Well, as he's trying to rain rounds, Cleric Preston is going to move in real quick, and he's going to judo chop the weapon, twisting it right around, finishing the magazine right next to his ear. Then he's going to take the carrot, toss it over his left side, and then we're going to go into Gun Kata number two. Pistols are being flipped around, and then we have the fighting spikes pop out under the magazine. So now he's doing a couple of magazine hits to the face, followed by a leg sweep, elbow to the chest. He's going to hook the back of his head with his pistol, load him up, and then shoot him right in the shoulder, sending him off onto the floor.
So Mr. Smith is not exactly the most agile person. Like, in the film, he tends to get fucked up quite a bit. Like, he's able to, like, hide and do camouflage in his military black ops training, but he's basically a tank. That's really what he is. So he's just going to be taking all of this punishment. And while he's getting hit and turned around and punched and then finally shot in the arm, he is just like, what the shit is going on? So as he hits the ground from the round, he's going to roll over on his stomach and, like, start acting like he's going to try to crawl away, trying to lure Preston in. And then as he does that, he's going to shove the 45 that he had in his jacket into the hole where the bullet went and fire around right through his own bullet hole right towards Preston.
Oh, man. I'm going to say that hit because that would catch anyone off guard. All right. So it's John Preston. Now we have an injury. All right. So he is going to revert back to gun kata one. He's going to shoot anything that's illuminating or not illuminating. He's going to shoot any possible weapons that Smith is going to try to pick up. After he finishes his last round, the pistols drop and he unsheathes his katana sword. And then he tells him, death by a thousand cuts. And then quickly cuts both wrists, saying that there's two, making Smith drop his guns.
So Smith is going to take those cuts and he's going to see, like, just riddled around him, all these inert guns, like, and he's just going to slump. You know, he's now bleeding out of his wrists. See, like, he can't pick things up now, but that's okay. Cause Smith doesn't necessarily have to use his hands. At that time, Smith is actually going to, as Preston's coming in with another swipe, slam his forehead into the ground. But it's not the ground. It's actually a remote control for the Crow System minigun that's mounted on the other side of the warehouse that just starts spitting 100,000 rounds at Preston, flying right over Smith, ending this match.
No. See, Preston's going to take cover. There just so happens to be a blast shield pop-up like Call of Duty that comes out of one of the crates. So he's taking cover right next to it and is timing his attack. As soon as the machine gun shuts off, he's going to run towards Smith and hit him with the butt of the sword and then slicing his upper thigh. And then fireman carrying him and then dunking him down right on top. It just so happens to be a coffee table right there in this warehouse, right onto the coffee table. And then saying, I'm going to take away both your weapons. He shoots both hands and then aims down to the midsection and shoots the nuts right off too.
That's terrible. And I will say that would end the match because for me, that's how I would go out too. Like, I'd give up at that point too. All right. So either Preston gets cut down by an unknown machine gun that he wasn't tracking, or he just completely disembowels Mr. Smith with his gun kata. Yeah, that's terrifying. Like, all of that is just bad news. Bad news. My friend, why don't we hit the destruction spectrum?
It's time for the destruction spectrum, or as I like to call it, collateral damage that makes just a modicum of sense. Here, the hosts take the character's destruction potential and rate it on a scale of 1 to 5. To put it bluntly, it's how much collateral damage they can cause before the National Guard has to step in, be it a barroom brawl, or a world-ending nuclear holocaust. The hosts will persevere and provide you with this valuable information because, let's face it, this is why you're here.
Yeah. So on a scale of 1 to 5, Scotty?
It's mainly the people that attack them are destroying stuff. So, and me going off of John Preston and it's even Smith, they're just instruments of precision. And I think it's just going to be 1.5. It's only destruction for their opponents, but not the environment intent. Now Smith has gone through shit, but I know John Smith, Preston doesn't he's accuracy. His only target is the opponents. He don't miss, is what I'm getting at.
That's fair. Yeah, I'd go probably like a two, only because the sheer amount of firepower both of them could wield. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I definitely agree. Like, they wield firepower, but at a precise target. And they definitely observe some of the safety rules that we talk about, you know, knowing their target and what's beyond it. They don't tend to shoot around. So just for that fact, I think a 1.5 to a 2 is probably a good call, which is very interesting when we're talking about two gun nuts. And I mean that literally for both of these characters. So good call, man. All right. I think we need to run into next week's WAM.
WAM. I got one. And it's for, I promise my baby girl that I was going to give her a WAM for her birthday. And just like any proud father, I gave her two choices and her favorite characters. Like, sweetie, do you want to see Venom or Raven? And she goes, oh, she wants Raven. So that's what we're going to go with next WAM is Teen Titans Raven.
Sweet. I actually can't wait to see what our audience comes up with that on. And remember, folks, we have all of the social medias going on and also our Q&As on our episodes. We have actually been finding some more people have been adding those. So please, we really love interacting back and forth as long as you're not John Strosky. We don't really like interacting with him just because he is beneath us and he knows it. We love you, John. All right, dude. I think we did it. I think we should probably set up for next week's brawl. All right, man. So we have to do next week's fight. And honestly, I don't think I've ever been more excited in my life for how this is going to roll. How about we do a little Japanese cinema / TV with Mecha Godzilla versus the Green Power Rangers Dragon Zord.
Yes. Yes. Just saying it out loud is Hollywood written all over it.
Yeah, I'm shocked they haven't done this yet. I mean, honestly, with all the shit that they put out here recently, I feel like this is a slam dunk. And if you guys are wondering how much rage is going to be put down on the poor city of Tokyo, Frisco, Seattle, you're going to come to the right place next week, and we are excited to bring it. I think that's all I got, Scotty. You want to finish us off?
I don't think we said the results yet.
Oh, you're right. I may have been trying to get out of that.
I mean, we know who's going to win.
Yeah, so the results, my friend, are it's sad. It's sad to be honest. It's not even a contest. Cleric John Preston won 929-71.
Wow.
And I think I may have to rerun these stats with the understanding that gun kata is kind of reduced with the advent of emotion. Cause what I did was just straight up, like, if he was at his best versus Smith at his best, it's just not even a contest. I think it was fun to speculate, but I think I had more fun talking about Smith than how Smith would actually do in this fight. Which is
sad. At least it wasn't Mr. Smith that I was speculating from Mr. and Mrs. Smith. Not Brad Pitt.
That's true. Not Brad Pitt. I don't think that would have gone much better. So your winner, of course, I bow to the Macho Camacho for Mr. John Preston, the cleric with the most badass of katas, the gun kata.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. John Preston won. All he needed was 3 minutes. 3 minutes of playtime.
Solid. Again, with the Marvel. But you know what? We give him a pass because the Macho Man is always awesome, especially his Bonesaw McGraw. All right, dude. I think we're heading out. Come back next week, folks. We're doing things new every week. You know, we're bringing in, you know, bringing it to the mat. We're bringing in probably some visuals for our YouTubes. So it's not just two guys talking at a computer or each other. I mean, we had special guests. You didn't even know there was going to be a special guest today, which is outstanding. And I am so glad to be continuing on with Max Destruction as we're getting to almost a year of doing this.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that is awesome.
We're getting
all right, man. I know. We'll see you. We'll see you next week.
Thank you, everyone.
Good night.
Pull out this belt again. John Preston's champ.
Yeah, it was the first time I had crabs.